well for that.
I have something I do want to share. I feel like it's a word. It's actually one of those things where I looked at this week and it really started speaking to me and like building me up and encouraging me. And they say often the teacher learns more than the student in anything in life, and I think that's true. And just a little suggestion. I did this before. I didn't prepare messages. If you really want to learn something, just pretend like you're writing a book on it or you're doing something and just start looking into it. You're going to pretend like you're sharing it with someone because you're going to learn a lot, actually. Sometimes when we receive from someone in a sermon format or a book, we're just receiving. One thing I did, just to, I don't know why I'm saying this, maybe it's going to be helpful for someone. When I was in Bible school, I would just go through. I still have some of the notes. So I'd go in Romans and just flip through. One, this. And I would just go through and make my own little outline of the books. And it's really helpful. And I went back and looked at some of those. Like, gosh, I should go back and look at this. It's just a helpful little thing to go through it. Almost like, I'm going to teach Romans 1 today to Diane. So I'm going to go through it. It's just a great way to chew on the scriptures and let it become a part of who you are. It's just a thought. But I've been speaking in Acts 17. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. I want to go back a little bit to where I was. And I'm going to go and turn to Acts chapter 14. There's one verse I want to look at in particular and a couple of events. I want to look at the life of Paul. And as you turn there, in Acts 13, if you remember, the Antioch church was ascending church. And it's Acts chapter 14. And so the Jerusalem church was more ingrown. The Antioch church was ascending church, which I think is a great model for a church. You're equipped, you're built up, and you're really sent. And the Ephesus church was really the city transformation church. And so if you remember in Acts chapter 13, Paul had been sent out with Barnabas. And you remember the elders there had fasted and prayed, and they sent them out to do the work of the Lord. And so Paul's starting his missionary journeys, and there's a lot to be learned from it. Something stuck out with me this week. In Acts chapter 14, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Let me just skim it real quick, and then I'm going to stop and settle in on verse 19. But they went to Iconium. It says in verse 3, they stayed a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to his word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. So he started off going out with Barnabas, and there was great success. They stayed there a long time. They weren't kicked out right away. They were ministering. They were doing some good things. There's signs and wonders were done through their hands. And then it says in verse 5, but then a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and to stone them. So they started off, great success. They got run out of town, threatened to be stoned. And then they found themselves, it says in verse 6, they became aware of it and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. It says as they were preaching there in verse 8, it's the first recorded miracle of healing in Paul's ministry. So things are going pretty well for him. And then if you look in verse 11, this is an interesting passage to me. In verse 11 through 18, folks there in that time, they were primitive, so they said, hey, Paul's coming, Barnabas is coming. Well, look at here, it's Zeus. It's the Greek gods, they've come down among us. And Paul had to correct them. Let me just stop, this isn't my message, but let me say this. One thing I like what Paul did, this applies to anything in life. You can't live by the jeers of man, cheers of man, okay? No matter what you're doing, you can't base what you do based on the cheers of man, because the same crowd that may cheer you today may jeer you tomorrow. There's no greater example of it than right here. Paul could have said, yes, I am, Zeus. But he didn't. He corrected them. And it says there, in verse 19, it says, let me stop here, it says, and then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, so they followed him. And they persuaded the multitudes. So they went there and persuaded these guys. Hey, they put down your gods. Look who these are. And they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. So Paul has great success. kicked out of town, goes somewhere else, lays hands, sees a guy healed. Then he gets stoned. He said, "You're a god, you're Zeus." And then he gets stoned. Now, if you look at this, and this is all important for what I want to say, I believe personally, if you read different commentators and commentaries on different things, some say he wasn't killed. I actually believe they stoned him to death. I actually really do. If you remember in Galatians, it says, he says, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord." In 2 Corinthians, I'll read later in 11, he actually says, one of his credentials for ministry, he says, "in deaths often." And it says that, however, the disciples gathered around him and he rose up and went to the city. Let me say this. If he wasn't killed for being stoned, even if everyone in here was going to stone me and you can't throw it, hit the broadside of a barn, somebody would at least knock me in the head. I'm sure of it. And at least knock me out. So if he wasn't actually killed and the disciples came up and did what David Hogan's ministry does and saw the guy raised from the dead, he was at least healed and he kept going. And it didn't stop him. And it says that the disciples gathered around him and he rose up and went to the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So the man was stoned. Even if he wasn't stoned to death, he was whipped, took some shots, and he kept going. Okay? He kept going. I'm going to read some verses Paul gives in a minute for his qualifications and credentials for ministry. And it says in verse 21, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch." And let me say this to be completely frank with you. If I came to Pawcatuck and I was stoned, I'd probably go back home. And I wouldn't keep doing what I was doing. Okay? He kept going. That speaks volumes to me. "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying," and this is kind of what I'm going to do, "we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Okay? I want to focus on that. It says that then when he had appointed elders in every city and in every church and prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord those whom they believe. And then they passed through Pisidia and they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word to Perga, they went down to Antioch. And from there they sailed to Antioch. So 26, they went back to the home church where they were sent out from, and they were where they had been commended from the grace of God for the work which they had completed. So Paul was stoned, run out of town, and he still finished the job God gave him to do. And he said, "We must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God." Okay? Let me say this. Kingdom of God. I've spoken about that the last few weeks. So I don't need to recap all that. But let me just, there's a verse that struck with me. "Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." That's the kingdom of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Everyone, this is Ron Canole. Remember Ron Canole? Mm-hmm. He used to sing that song. I used, gosh, that was a good one back in the day. Yeah, this Caribbean deal he had going. I loved that. But the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. Okay? And he says, we must, through many tribulations, enter in the kingdom of God. Remember Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again, right? So you must be. John 4, he said, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does must mean? It means you must. So how do we correlate? I enter the kingdom of God, a free gift from the Lord. You must be born again. But to enter the kingdom of God, you must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God, if it's a realm where Jesus is king, it's a supernatural realm, it's a realm of character, giftings, qualifications of the Lord. It's a free gift. And I'm going to build on this, so stay with me because it's important. Yet it's something, it says, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. I'm not a Greek scholar, I say it often, but I've heard it said this way. The Greek is almost like 3D language compared to what we have in English. And sometimes if you look at words, you get a fuller meaning. And the word for tribulation there, it's philipsis, and that's not easy to say, but it means pressure. We must through much pressure enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? Let me read a couple of Paul's things, then I'm going to get into something. Paul says this, and this is 2 Corinthians verse 6, 4 through 10. And he's giving his qualifications. He went in there, they said, you know, you're weak, you're timid, you're not a true apostle. And he gives his qualifications, which is interesting. It makes me question sometimes, oh Lord, do I really want? He says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience in tribulations. He knows it again there. In needs and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors. And sleeplessness and fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. And same chapter, same book, verse 7 through verse 4, Paul writes to them, he says, I am filled with comfort, I am exceedingly joyful in all of our tribulation. Paul had a lot of pressures in his life, but he could still say, I'm joyful. In the midst of it. Same word, Philippians. Then he says, and this is in chapter 11, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And labors more abundant. And stripes above measure. And prisons more frequently. And deaths often. Which is one thing I think he may have been stoned to death there. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. It goes back to the time he was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. I probably would have called it quits once again by that point. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And this is a great verse. Beside other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches of God. Let me say all that to say this again. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and that your soul be in health. How does that verse go? I had it quoted. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So that's the heart of God for us, isn't it? Amen. There's a place we can come to, and I'm going to read another passage, and I promise I have a lot of verses this morning, but that's okay. There's a place I can come to where I live this life. Paul also said, in all things I've learned to be content. Where I come to a place in God where I'm going through trials and tribulations and pressures, yet I still find my contentment. Turn with me here. I don't want to worry you up with Scripture, but it's good for us. And I'm going to start speaking a little bit more in Psalms chapter 84, verse 5 through 7. And I want you to turn there if you can. Psalms chapter 84, verse 5 through 7. And this is it's a great chapter. It's actually known as the Pilgrim's Song. Psalms 84, verse 5 through 7. While I turn there, remember when Jesus said this? He says, these things I've spoken to you that may have peace. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It's like Andrew was saying this morning, we're overcomers. Amen. That's my identity. I said that last week. I was talking to you about that yesterday a little bit. I don't get fragile and frightened by everything because my identity is as a son of God. I'm washed and I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. The Spirit of the living God is within me. Amen. That's my identity.
Amen.
And I don't waste my time focusing on lesser things. Amen. Psalms 84, verse 5 through 7. It says, Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Again, it's called the Pilgrim Song on journeying. As they pass through the Valley of Baca. Now let me say what this is. As they pass through the Valley of Baca. There's 2 things that means. It means the Valley of Tears and Weeping or the Valley of Drought and Dryness. Have you ever passed through a Valley of Tears? And I mean, maybe the whole compass of your life. Maybe it's just in a certain area. Maybe it's in family situations, in a job situation, it's in a financial situation. Or the tears and weeping or drought and dryness. Have you ever been dry and being a drought in your walk with God, for example? Because I was in here this morning, I felt that maybe speak to some of you more than anything. But I find myself in the Valley of Baca. And he says, as they pass through it, which means you'll pass through it, and it's a good, healthy thing, they make it a spring. I love the verse, I don't know what chapter it is in Isaiah, but floods upon dry ground. Or I can be in the midst of my, whether it's my personal life, my family, however it is, and there can be floods that come upon in dry ground. And I can find myself in this place that they can be filled with the water and the freshness of the Spirit. They also cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength. Okay? Strength to strength. There's a pattern. Faith to faith. Glory to glory. Our life with God is a pilgrimage. It's a journey, isn't it? So I'm constantly going. As I go from strength to strength, from faith to glory to glory. And he says he's in the valley of Baca. Now, well, I want you to look at me for just a minute. I'm going to do it. I was, Willie got us all excited on Tuesday. He was sharing that he went to was at Gateway Church, and Bob Sorge was there. And they called him up there to pray over Bob Sorge before. You never heard of Bob Sorge? He's a guy who's a tremendous worship leader, and he lost his voice. So he can only speak for like an hour a day. He came to my hometown. I heard him once, with IHOP for many years. And they called him up to pray. And Bob Sorge has this word, and it speaks to me. And he says this. They went through the valley of Baca. There's a principle in the scripture of mountains and valleys. Okay? Every mountain shall be made low, the valley shall be filled. There's a lot of verses I could give you. Valleys were filled with water. Valleys were filled. And so I was remembering when I was in high school, my sister was in college, and she went to the University of Tennessee, and we would go. She played soccer there, so we'd go on the weekends some to watch her games. And we'd drive through the North Carolina mountains, and it's absolutely beautiful. But if you look at mountains don't just go constantly up like this. A mountain, if you look on the landscape, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, and it goes down. Let me say this, I got this from Bob Sorge. He said our walk with God is like this, and I believe it to be true. Go from strength to strength, from faith to glory to glory. So maybe for me, 15 years ago, this was my mountain. And I was on top of a mountain 15 years ago. And then the Lord takes me through a valley. Okay? Sometimes when I go through a valley, whether it's dryness, drought, my walk with God, maybe it's a family situation, however you want to define that situation, and it can mess with me because I think this is not the mountain I was on. But the Lord doesn't just keep going. It's not a roller coaster. He puts you in the mountain so you can climb your next, puts you in the valley so you can climb your next mountain. And then so this mountain was here 15 years ago. Now I'm here, but now I'm going back up. Amen? So, let me say this, and I keep going to ascend as they're on pilgrimage. As they go through the valley of Baca, as they go through the valley of tears, the valley of dryness. One of the biggest things, and I'm just as guilty as anyone, when I find myself in a valley, and no matter what area, it could be my Bible reading. It could be I pull this up, and 10 years ago it was just jumping out at me, and now it's I read a chapter and I have no idea what it said. And sometimes that can mess with us because we think, what's going on? And then I start to long for my last mountain. I can't drive down the road looking in the rearview mirror. Okay? One of the worst things is when God's called you to a new place in Him and we keep finding out your old address. And sometimes the Lord, He will take you through, we must through many tribulations, pressures, the valley. The valley is meant, if we respond properly, so we can conquer our next mountain that we're going up on. And so, 15 years ago, my mountain, I was on a mountain, but you wouldn't want to hear from me 15 years ago up here. I wouldn't want to put myself up here. 15 years ago, the Lord, in that time, has put me through a valley in this part. I go back up here. Then this area puts me through a valley. God, what's going on? And one of the biggest things we have to watch ourselves is that we don't check it in and cash it in. Because some of the easiest things to do, what's the verse in do not grow weary in well-doing. For if we continue, we shall reap a harvest if we continue and not give up. I think that's in Galatians. But we go down and we go down, and I'm coming back up if I recognize it properly, that we must through many tribulations enter in the kingdom of God. And so if that's a place in your life this morning, I felt it really strongly, so I have to say it. If it's a dryness in your walk with God, that's what it is. Man, I've been there myself. I question myself, I can beat myself up. But if I look back, I say, God, I'm grateful for the valley of Baca, the valley of drought, the valley of dryness. Because as I respond, if you're in that place, it means there's a bigger mountain for you to climb. Yesterday's faith is not the faith I need for next year. That's the word for all of us. It speaks to me. 3 years ago when I got here, my faith 3 years ago, for three more years, I need new faith. I need more faith. I need more strength. I need more of this. And sometimes the only way that happens is through, we must through many tribulations, through many pressures, through many twistings and noddings. And the Lord hasn't left us. Sometimes if I ever feel, Lord, I'm pressing into you and I feel nothing, I've read the same verse 8 times and I have no clue what it says. That's when my faith is strengthened, because I always go back, I will never leave nor forsake you. This verse is, do I not feel heaven and earth? And I remember Walter Butler was sharing a story. And he said he was in Bible school and these two girls were there and they came to him and they said, Brother Butler, we know we're called here, we're supposed to be here, but we're thinking about leaving because we just don't feel God. We don't feel Him. And he said, that's fine whether you feel Him or not. Doesn't His Word says, do I not feel heaven and earth? He said, one of them ended up leaving. Healed the person in the ambulance. Every time I'm in here and there's an ambulance goodbye, I say, Lord, heal the person in the ambulance. Do that in your own time, I'm sorry. One of them left and one of them stayed on, because sometimes I have to get to the place where how I feel doesn't affect the reality of the situation that God's actually put me in. Amen? Amen. Sometimes the only way to do that is we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Paul, again, think about yourself. If you had laid hands on someone, seen them healed, and then the group says, it's Zeus. I don't care who you are. You'd be like, oh, that's not right. But it might, make you feel, yeah, I'm something, A mountain. And then they're going to stone him. A valley. And the man kept going. And he says, we must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. What is the vision for your life? Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. And so if there's a vision to my life, it means there are certain restraints and boundaries to my life. Whether that's a business situation you have, maybe a vision for your life is seeing your spouse saved. Maybe it's getting to a place in your walk with God where things are flowing. Whatever that might be, a financial deal, whatever that situation is. Sometimes if the Lord, and if I've heard this before, because we live in such an instant Keurig coffee society, right? Where I put it in. Sometimes, I don't want to make a blanket statement. I don't like doing that, but I've heard this before. Sometimes the Lord will give you a word. I've had someone give me a prophetic word, and actually it literally happened that night. And then I've had sometimes it happens, and you'll go through everything possible where it can't possibly be true. Now look at Joseph. The dream he had, and then he was in jail. I love the story of Joseph. There's no future for a slave in jail. And he had this dream from God, and he found himself in jail. Sometimes if the Lord gives you a word for your ministry, for whatever it is, you might find yourself in a place where it can never possibly happen. And it's in those moments I recognize I'm still on pilgrimage. I'm a son of God. I'm called from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. And I might be in this valley, but that's not my portion. That's not the word of the Lord over me. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a son of God, you desire that I prosper in all things. I'm in divine health all the time. Okay? That's our portion. Okay? Let me skip a couple things. Let me say this too. Your mountain experience, I watched a movie, I think it was a movie or a documentary on Mount Everest. And I know nothing about mountain climbing, so maybe this is really obvious to you, but it wasn't to me. But the people who actually made it up there, they couldn't just hang out for a week and celebrate. They had to get down, or else it'd kill them.
Yeah.
And I was talking recently to a pastor, and he was sharing that how he'd been in these churches, and the Lord really elevated him. But he said before that happened, he said, he experienced so much loss. He said, I think I was going through PTSD. But what happened with him, let me turn to this passage real quick. This is a really good passage. It's in 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And he went through whatever PTSD he went through, because he could empathize, I have a hard time with that word, have more empathy with the folks that God had called him to. And he thanked the Lord for the valley of Baca, because he was up here, and then he went down there, but the Lord called him back up here after he got through that season. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Whenever you minister, the greatest advice, I took a preaching class one time, and the number one thing I got, and it's true, whenever you minister, whether it's behind a pulpit, or someone at the grocery store, or it's a family member, and in a closed door, you minister to your friend in California, you minister your life. Okay? You do. What the Lord's done, I minister the Word of God, but the Word has to become a part of me. My walk with God's become a part of me. And sometimes the Lord can take you through the valley of Baca so you can comfort those who comforts us in all of our tribulation, whether that's a PTSD thing the pastor was talking about, or whether it's I haven't felt God in 8 months and I feel like He's left me. And for me, when I was in my mountain 15 years ago and someone told me I can't connect with God, I would not be able to relate to them at all. I was like, what's wrong with you? Just do this. And then God puts you through a season and says, I can't feel the Lord. Like, I know what you mean. And because faith to faith, strength to strength, 15 years ago, my faith is not going to be needed for 15 years later, right? That's the truth for all of us, okay? We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Let me take you on one more story in the scripture to show it, and then I'm going to be done. And this is in Romans. You don't have to turn there. Just listen to me in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. It's just one verse, and it's speaking of Abraham. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So we have faith, but was strengthened again. It says he didn't waver. So, sometimes I find when the Bible says something like that, it seems contradictory. Maybe there's a meaning in it, because if you look at Abraham, how many years did he wait for Isaac? It's 25 years. And if I read Genesis correctly, he wavered. How do we get Ishmael? In 17, he laughed at God. Yet the Holy Spirit records for us all to see that he did not waver at the promise of God. And I believe it to be this way. In 25 years, sometimes the Lord will measure your progress. I've said this before, not so much in, well, last week I was here, last week I was there. So I looked at myself this morning in increments of 15 years. I shouldn't be where I was 15 years ago, right? That's why I can't drive and look at my rearview mirror. I have to continue to move where the Lord's called me and what the Lord's doing in me. But I believe that because he stayed with it, Abraham could say that my level of faith 25 years later was up here and it was down there. Because he kept, maybe he went through here, Ishmael. Goes back up. Oh man, I laugh at God. This. Why? Because we're on pilgrimage, right? I continue to move forward in God. And I have to embrace the seasons of my life, always, often. I recognize what my portion is as a child of God. And I say this all the time too. If I'm in a valley and something's drying up or something's this, don't take that as your identity. That's not your portion. Amen. I have to say that to myself. That's not my portion. It just means right now I'm in a valley, because if I got up on the mountain too long, I would not be able to relate. And also,
there must be a bigger mountain for me to climb in the kingdom of God, because I'm always, always, always moving forward. Don't call it quits in any area of your life. And I said that. I enjoy history, and I have an example I maybe shouldn't give. I'll say this. I won't give the guy's name because he was a bad, bad leader. And he's dead. I don't know that he's gone on to be with the Lord. he was a leader in the Caribbean. But the man did say he had a revolution that overtook his country. And if you study it, he really did it with 18 people. And he never quit. They had defeats, and he would be on the radio and say, "We just won." Something horrible would happen. Those three guys on the radio says, "We're doing this. We just won. We just won. We just won." It was the most amazing. I think the man was horrible, but God can still speak to me that way in a spiritual aspect. And I can say, you know, the guy kept losing. He kept losing. He kept losing. He kept losing. He kept saying, "I'm winning. I'm winning. I'm winning. I'm winning." And he overcame and did what he had to do. Amen. That is, I hate using that example with this guy. Sometimes we can learn from history. It spoke to me. It actually, in my faith, it built me up. I was like, yes. The guy did something with 18 people. He overcame a continent, 18 people. One more verse. "We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair." What's Paul speaking about again? What's my identity? I'm hard-pressed on every side. I'm in a vice. Tribulation. But I'm not crushed.
Amen.
I'm perplexed. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know where He is. But I'm not in despair, because I know who He is. I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. He's always with me. Struck down, but not destroyed. He goes on in verse 15, says, "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." Grace abounded in Paul when he refused to give up. All right? Grace abounded in God. Grace abounded in Paul as he refused to give up. Don't get to the valley. If you're in a valley, it's not just like, well, my whole life's a valley. Feel that way, I'll pray for you. But there's an area of your life where this is a valley. This is a low point. This is a tribulation point. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And if He's in that place, I can go through, like the psalmist said, Sons of Korah, who wrote that verse. It's there, but I'm going to learn from it. There's a British guy, I forget who is, I don't know who he is. He says, "I don't like a crisis, but I always like the opportunity that it brings." Say that again. "I don't like a crisis, but I always like the opportunity that it brings." I like that. I do. Because you have two people, either those who bellyache about everything. Let me say this. If you're bellyaching about every situation, how about doing this? I'm in this valley right now, and it really stinks, and I don't like it. But man, this is an opportunity. Growing my faith. It's my finances. I'm in this valley here. This is a chance for me to really grow. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like I've got this mastered, and then something else comes and you realize maybe I don't as much as I thought I did? What's happening? I've reached a certain mountain, and then the Lord wants to take you to a higher mountain. Okay? So if it's a financial issue, I'm here, but it just means there's more faith that God needs for me. There's more faith He's building in me. I'm not going to say, well, now I'm here. I'm folding it in. I'm calling it quits. What I'm saying is that I'm right here. I'm going to turn this into a pool of water with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to learn and grow, because there's a bigger mountain for me right up here that the Lord's taking me to. Right? Amen? That spoke to me in anyways in every area of my life. So if I'm dry, if I'm in the valley of Baca, in the valley of drought, in the valley of despair, in the valley of tears, where I go home and I cry at night about something, amen? It's not your portion. And the Lord says, "I will never leave, I will never forsake you."
Think about Paul. A man was stoned to death, and he kept on going. He went back to Antioch and completed his course that God had gave him there in Antioch. Amen?
Amen.
That's good stuff. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm done. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray this all the time when I'm in here alone, and I pray it here publicly, Lord. Lord, this could be a place where you could be at home. Lord, this is a place you can do as you wish. Lord, Kevin's going to be speaking on it in January. Lord, the Spirit of God can have His way. We thank you for that, that you did in worship this morning, Lord, for the gifts and the callings, Lord, for the anointings and the what you've done here and what you're doing. Lord, remind us who we are in you, Lord. Lord, for any of us in a valley, Lord, that you would identify that within us this week. And Lord, if we need an adjustment in our mentality, if we need an adjustment, if we need to see things, as Andrew said this morning, as the eagle, Lord, I ask that you would bring that adjustment to us, Lord. And that if we're in a place where there's a crisis, we can say, Lord, through you, through your eyes, this is an opportunity because you have a greater mountain for us to climb. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for this people. We love you, Jesus. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.